that we might see Jesus, who is our way, our truth, and our life. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 7. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For lengths of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Our second reading is a responsive reading, Psalm 90. The responses you're invited to join in will be indicated on the screens, so please join me in the responsive psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed them in the earth, in the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals.
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed.
You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be manifest in your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Our third reading comes from 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, reading verses 14 to 31. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our most respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
And we continue to read from God's word as it is given in John chapter 14, reading verses 1 to 17. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Now Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Whoever has seen me, how can you then say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." Amen. And may God bless to our hearts the reading of these portions of his own holy word. And to his name be the honor and glory, now and forevermore. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes life surprises you. During our travels this summer, we pulled into a hotel in Florenceville, New Brunswick, for the night. And as I was waiting to check in, I happened to overhear the conversation between the desk clerk and the woman who was standing in front of me. The desk clerk happened to mention to her that this woman was about to book the last room in the hotel. And that kind of surprised me. I don't know if you're familiar with Florenceville, New Brunswick. Gail, I know you are, but for the rest. But, well, Florenceville isn't a destination, I think is perhaps the good way to say it. It's got a great hotel, though. I'm going to say that right now. But it's not a destination. Florenceville is a small community, and now that the new highway has gone through New Brunswick, it seems even smaller because you don't go down into the village. You stay up at the top of the hillside. And so Florenceville, for all intents and purposes, is a filling station, a couple of businesses, and the hotel. Now, don't get me wrong. The hotel in which we stayed in Florenceville is conveniently located right next to Potato World, where I'm sure you can learn anything that you need to know about the local crop. But Florenceville was always a modest town, and the Florenceville that you see from the highway, even more so. But the hotel in Florenceville, all summer long, is filled with people. People passing through. This morning, Jesus teaches his disciples about the kingdom of God. This morning, we begin to explore this last section of John's gospel that we're going to look at this year. And all God's people said, hooray! It's been a long year through the gospel of John. It's not something we preach on a regular basis. So it's good to get into some of these things. And it's nice to have the opportunity as your preacher to actually preach texts like this one this morning. Ones that we hear all too often, but that never really get the attention they deserve. This particular text, "In my Father's house there is many mansions," I preach a lot. It's one of those texts that comes up in funerals, so I don't even want to estimate how often I've shared this text in a funeral. And yet, a funeral is a different place than regular morning worship, where we really have the opportunity to dig into the text. And one of the things that I found this week as I was looking at this text is that there's really about three sermons here. Well, there's the whole 17 verses, I can probably stretch out to four or five sermons, not all of which I'm going to share with you this morning, praise be to God. But it was difficult to kind of narrow it down because about midweek I kind of started to think there's about a 20-point sermon here. And the various themes were vying for my attention. So you get this morning just a sliver still of John chapter 14, and this, the beginning section of Jesus' farewell discourses. Now, the farewell discourse is a series of teachings that goes from John chapter 14 to John chapter 17. It's teachings that Jesus shares with his disciples alone. It's not public ministry. It's private for those who have been followed him and have loved him most dearly. They lie between Jesus' celebration of the Passover and his arrest and crucifixion. And they contain several well-known passages from Scripture. perhaps none more so than these words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you unto myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. Immediately before those words, Jesus has celebrated the Passover with his disciples, an event that was confusing and challenging for his disciples. If you recall the passage of Scripture, the events that we rehearse each Monday, Thursday, there is this great role reversal as Jesus welcomes the disciples into the Passover feast, where Jesus sets aside his status as teacher to become servant and to wash their feet. There is his prediction about Judas betraying him. There is the acknowledgement that his life is coming to an end, and there is a prediction that all of the disciples will fall away and that even Peter will deny him. It's understandable then that Jesus' first words today to his disciples are, "Do not be afraid." Because surely the disciples must have been racked with confusion and doubt after witnessing all of that. And the offer of a new reality, a vision of the kingdom of God, is given to them. In my Father's house, there are many abiding places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you, so that then I can come back and take you to me? In his classic commentary on John's Gospel, C.K. Barrett notes that this reference to God's house, in my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places, is indeed a reference to the temple in Jerusalem. Think, it's as we hear in Psalm 122 and other psalms throughout the Psalter. You know, we rehearse these words. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The destination in all of these passages of Scripture that we know well and can quote by heart is not some heavenly abode far away. It's something much nearer. It was for the people of God, the place where they were going to worship. It was that great center of the festival of their religion. Therefore, the destination here is not something that is far and unfamiliar. The disciples are in Jerusalem. The temple is just there. And yet, we know that there is more to this promise than that. Those who did the Bible study through John that ended last spring, the fall before and last spring, will remember often there's this, but then there's that. And this passage is no exception. There's more to the promise than just an earthly worship place. Jesus speaks in this text about his going, "I go to prepare a place for you," and his coming, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." It is important for us to remember that the temple in Jerusalem, as understood by the people in Jesus' day, was more than just a hall of worship. The children of God in Jesus' day believed that there at the temple in the Holy of Holies, that most exclusive place within the temple, the place that only the priest could enter and only at certain times of the year, the place which held the Ark of the Covenant, that place was the very footstool of God. That God was present in the Holy of Holies. So that in some ways the temple in Jerusalem really was God's home. But it was just part of God's home. The front vestibule, maybe, or the sun porch of a much greater habitation with the feet of God on earth, but the throne of God sitting in heaven above. And as Jesus utters these words of promise, that I go to prepare a place for you and I return to welcome you into it, all of the limitations and all of the laws that excluded people from the presence of God, all of the things that set that Holy of Holies apart in the temple are stripped away. All of the ritual laws of cleanliness have been removed. All will be welcome. God's house in John chapter 14 is a house of abundance where all will welcome all and more. The real import of the words of this text is not just that there will be sufficient, that all of the travelers who have arrived will have a place, and by the end of the night, when the lady before me pays with her credit card, the hotel will be full. No, the image that is portrayed in this text is really that God's house is a place that will never be full. God has an abundance of space for us and to share. As I was thinking about the text for this week, John chapter 14, however, two other texts started to creep into my mind, two other passages of Scripture, and we're going to hear about them in a couple of months, too. The first text was this one. The first text was the visit of the angel Gabriel to a young girl named Mary. And Gabriel's first words to Mary were, "Fear not." And the angel then goes on to speak of the great leveling of the kingdom of God, where the poor and the humble will be lifted up, and the rich and those who are sufficient will be sent away. There, too, we hear in that text of the great extravagance of the kingdom of God, that it's not just that there will be enough, not just that there will be sufficient, but it will be grace overflowing. And we are reminded that the inbreaking of the kingdom is always disorienting. It was as it broke in upon Mary. It was as it broke in upon the disciples in the text this morning. And it is, or I would suggest, it should be, even for us today. The kingdom challenges everything. And the other text that rang out in my mind was the Christmas story itself. and Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, where they are greeted at the door of the inn with, "There is no room here for you." But here, at the end of the gospel story, I'm sorry, the other end of the gospel story, because, of course, the birth is the first end, the beginning. But here, at the other end, Jesus comforts his disciples and declares the conclusion of his earthly ministry, that all the limitations and all of the obstacles have been stripped away. Jesus declares that there is room, that the fullness of his mission has been completed. In God's kingdom, unlike this world in which we live, there is room for you. There is room for all. It is the great climax of his life and ministry that Jesus attempts to share with the disciples in these farewell discourses, and which he shares with us, that we are called to keep our eyes set and focused upon the kingdom of God, of which the blessings there are no end, and to place our trust in him and to acknowledge that Christ leads us beyond this world into a place of hope and riches beyond belief. And the kingdom that he holds out to us drives out all of our fear, all of our despair, all of our searching, and in the end, we are welcomed into a place called home. Home in the presence of God. Amen.